Good morning. I am just wonderful, except getting over some bronchitis, so I sound a little funny.
Well, at least you can go outside and enjoy the warm weather as opposed to the snowflakes yesterday.
I know.
And you will be out and about tonight. You and Keith will both be at the CoLab for a community conversation. Tell me about what's happening this evening.
The school board created a community conversation so that we could invite the public in who has talked to us a couple times before about redrawing the school board, the lines for the school board seats. We have 7 school board seats. People run from a district, but everyone votes for the person. And there's a lot of population disparity among all of those. So people have talked to us 2 different times, and we're inviting them in tonight to hear from them and have a discussion about what it is that they wanted to see. They were talking about appointing a committee to look at this. So talk about really what it is that they want to see before we move forward.
And again, we've spoken about this before. When you talk about what they want to see, do they have other, do they have a template somewhere they're going to use?
No.
I know we've talked about the old, when the county redistricts, the political lines, we'll just use that for the school board. Is there something in some other community, Sue, that they've seen that says, here's a good idea how to do this, or are we just changing it to change it?
Maybe it won't change. I don't know. It's
okay. That's a possibility.
Right. We haven't done this for 23 years. We haven't reviewed the school board districts in 23 years. And because there's such population disparity, it's a committee that was formed to honor Ellen Brantlinger, who was a professor in the School of Ed at IU, who talked about diversity and social justice. So out of this group came a discussion about maybe we could even up these districts so that the smaller districts would have more people and there'd be a larger pool to draw from for candidates. So, you know, school boards can be configured in a number of ways. It can be all at-large people. It can be like we are, electoral, residential districts, where you run from a district but everybody votes for you, or it can be electoral districts, like the city council, where people actually vote just in their own district. So I don't know. This committee might want to take a look at just reconfiguring it, or they might just say we want to draw lines, but that's what we're hearing from people tonight.
So you're going to have all these options to sort out through and see if any of them work. Is there any legality you have to follow? So could you eliminate districts altogether?
Yes, we could just make it one great
at large.
7 at large, if we wanted to. And so that's, you know, it's kind of like the longer day committee, the calendar committee.
Sure.
You know, putting some people together who have some interest in this to take a look and do the research and come back to with a recommendation for the board. So
But to answer your question, Mike, there is a review of this by the State Board of Education.
So it's just not anything goes.
No, they could say, okay, we like the plan, or no, we won't approve that plan.
So what's behind, is it people feel they are underrepresented? Because the population... It would sound like that just one district has more people in it than it used to have.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm confused on, mean, you can always change things. 20 years, I mean, that's a generational change. Okay, I can buy that. But
the fervor has
come from just because we haven't done it in a long time, that's why?
Part of it is that, but most of it is the population. The district where I live, is twice as large as 3 of the smaller districts population-wise, because so much of I've got the whole southern part of the county practically.
Okay.
And population in our county has moved has changed, and it's moved more to the southeast.
So you have more constituents to serve.
No, I don't have more constituents, but my district, the district from which I have to run, or District 2, somebody would have to run, there's a whole lot more people to choose from. So if you have a really large district, it's easier to find candidates. If you have a really small district, that's the concern. There won't be as many candidates. And this was brought up first probably 6 or 7 years ago by a group called the Community Leaders in Education. And their whole concern was they wanted to make sure there was always somebody to run for school board. And since for the last 8 years, every election, some of the contests have been, some of the races have been uncontested. And I think people are looking and saying it's better to have a contested race than only one person, or maybe nobody running at all. And then what would we do?
Well, yeah, or people can move into those areas, or you can redraw the areas, or you can do anything else. Are you? Here's another weird one. Just came off the top of my head. Will you ever? How can the school board expand, contract? Do you need that many? Is it too many? Should you add more? Is that?
I think a lot of this is dictated by overall school district population. So, for instance, RBB has 5 people on their board.
Yeah.
We have 7.
But if your population is growing, expanding, and doing all that, do you need to add more representatives rather than drawing the lines?
I don't know that it goes any larger, Glass. That's a really good question. I know IPS is larger, but I don't know that it grows any further than 7. But that's a good question, and I should find that out for the answer.
How many people are on the county council? 9? 7?
There's 7 on the county council.
Okay.
4 are districted seats,
and 3 are at-large.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, great. I'm just trying to throw this out there so people know what to expect tonight if they are passionate about this discussion. Is this going to be the first, the last? Do you have more? Is there a process someone's putting together, or is that part of tonight's discussion?
We're kind of putting it together. This came up. This was addressed at our regular session in September. And then we had a work session where we addressed it, and now we're having the community conversation. So I would like to think that after 3 conversations, maybe we will be finished with all of our conversations, and either we appoint a committee or we just drop the whole thing. I mean, there's only 2 choices. We appoint a committee and let them do something that we either accept or we don't accept, or we don't appoint a committee.
Well, that makes sense. If somebody wants something, is this public groundswell, correct? This has to be brought. And if they don't follow through with it, they don't follow through.
It's really grassroots governance. People saying, this is what we think you should do. I will mention this, that 4 years ago, I raised this issue with the board and proposed redistricting, and it was defeated 3-4. So it had been out there in the universe after the community leaders for education.
Yeah, this is not an issue that has been not discussed. It just hasn't had any of the groundswell. What? Where are we meeting tonight, Keith?
We're meeting in the CoLab.
The CoLab, okay.
Which is on Miller Drive, right across from the bus center.
Go to the new softball field.
Yes.
Where do I go from there?
We come back a block from the softball field.
Come back a block from the softball field.
It's a block north.
Towards the fire station.
Right.
Towards the water.
Exactly.
Okay, so everybody knows where that's at. Stick that in your Googleometer, and it should spit out exactly where you need to go. What time is showtime?
5:30.
You know what? I should have that address memorized so I could say to people.
I think I have it memorized, but I'm not going to say it because if I'm inaccurate,
they'll
say, that guy on the radio said, and I don't like to be that guy on the radio. You don't want to do that.
That guy on the radio.
Let's not forget, school is out of session on Tuesday. That is part of the calendars committee's decision that was made at some point, because next year there will be an election that will take that spot, and we know when we have things going on in schools that involve outdoor peoples that it's easier just not to have school.
Security.
Safety issues.
Right, and you know, we always get the question of, why did you cancel school? There's no election this year. And again, we did it for consistency purposes, because 3 out of 4 years there is an election, and we just thought the consistency, keep it in people's mind, and then we also use it as a teacher professional development day, so that's good for us too.
The kids aren't there, but the teachers are, you know.
The kids get a free day of Halloween candy eating. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We've talked about the districting meeting tonight. Now there's one other thing. It's on the front page of today's paper, and that is the grade for the MCCSC as well as RBB. And I think you and I both have talked about this on the air before, these grades and all of that. But go ahead and pick it up from there, because I know you have some strong feelings.
Well, let's start with RBB
that.
Because obviously they're not represented at this forum this morning. As Dr. Mike Wilcox told us, every school in our corporation was an A.
That's right.
Every school got an A.
It's kind of hard to figure out what their average is.
Well,
you know, if everything's an A.
But we need to point out that they're all A's, and that's a pat on the back there. So good job. And then the Monroe and the MCCSC also is an A corporation.
Right.
Congratulations.
Right. And you know what? I think the calculations aren't necessarily an average of all the schools, because otherwise I'm not sure why they would be embargoing the grades, and it's a big secret, and nobody can tell what the corporation grade is. So So I think there's some other things that go in, but yeah, but sure. I mean, I remember you, Glass, saying, so they all got A, so what's the corporation grade going
to be? Yeah,
so,
it's not a tough one to figure out.
So that seems pretty clear.
Now, the other part, the other part of the corporation grade is the reason they're embargoed is so people can argue whether things went their way, not their way, or whatever else.
You can appeal grades based on this student wasn't there and that student was and his grade shouldn't have been that and that kind of thing. So.
And that's the red tape that goes along with it. So MCCSC, what is the run now? The run has been A, B, A. I guess the news was it was B last year.
Right.
That's more news than the outlier.
Right.
But if you take a 10-year average of what
I think one of the things you want to ask, and it's a legitimate question, why do we even care about grades? Well, because people like to move into districts where there are quote-unquote good schools.
A schools.
Now, can you say that our schools are the best schools because they're all A schools? You know, yeah, I think we've got good schools and we've got good people, but it's the big thing is people want to be where the schools are rated good.
Well, and that's great that we have our both of our county districts are A schools. So congratulations on that.
And,
I know you worked hard on that.
And that is important. But before we ever had grades, you know, people knew, you know, where the good schools were, and we got a lot of support from our community. And, you know, I hope people will look at all the other things that we do too so well, like music and art and science and all of our extracurricular and all those kinds of things.
And whether that's included in the magic formula that we're not sure about, well, we don't know. But
it's not. But
it's nice to stick that on the sign out front. It's nice to stick that in the newspaper. It's nice to stick that into the chamber or wherever else when businesses look around. Yeah, all that's great. And the commitment to education should be you're striving for A all the time. And moving in that direction.
Right.
So.
And we have a wonderful commitment in this community.
Speaking of commitment, Keith, you were at a committed place last night at the front lawn at Jackson Creek. Tell your story about those do-gooders over there. Dr.
Well,
David Piller, our good friend. And he makes an annual bet with his troops every year at Jackson Creek Middle School. And this year's bet was to do what?
They raised money for the Joanne Olcott Cancer Center. And
they had a goal of $3,000.
It's amazing. And so if they beat the record,
they fundraising.
Camp out on the lawn of the
out?
School. David and the assistant principal.
Oh, the kids don't get to camp out? That would be
no,
more
no,
fun
no.
than
but the
principals.
But the kids come over there last night, and they had a little bonfire, and they did s'mores. Now it's raining, you know, and they had wet wood, so they're trying to start a fire with wet wood.
Tonight should have been the night they camped out when it's down to 52 degrees. But just a neat story of... Again, a bunch of do-gooders, the kids at Jackson Creek.
The kids are amazing, and this is like the third or fourth year in a row they've topped the previous year.
So they're ready to camp out then.
Yeah, and there were a fair number of kids in the rain.
Supporting.
Doing the s'mores.
Yeah.
You know, and they what was interesting, I got there about 7:30. And
just when it started coming down.
Well, I had my umbrella, and they had said that for the kids, it's over at 8 o'clock. Boy, at 8 o'clock, they were gone.
Right, you know? Because it was raining and cold and not very fun outside.
Exactly.
But that's a neat story that they're raising money, that's part of it as well.
David Piller and the students at Jackson Creek, the student staff, faculty. But when you look at the overall picture of what our students – faculty and staff do. You've got Habitat for Humanity. You've got Riley Hospital. You've got all of these things like the Olcott Center that our kids are doing on a regular basis. And some of our kids aren't that well off themselves, and they're helping other people. It's amazing.
It is a neat story. There's no doubt about it.
You know, and not only that, but David Piller does, and as well as a lot of our principals, but David does such a nice job of having programs like this to connect kids to each other and to make them feel a part of what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's the real key that keeps kids from getting lost or feeling like just one other kid. They really feel connected to the school, and as a result, behavior is better, learning is better, everything is better. And so, you know, we know David has done wonderful things with
By the Jackson way, Street. If you haven't driven down Sarah Drive, Sarah Road, and seen the housing that's being built down there, Dave's going to have an influx of students.
Perhaps. There's depends on who lives in
lots
those places,
of stuff going
right?
Hey, Sue, we got to change topic here. Monday night, we were at an Indiana School Board Association meeting at Greencastle, DePaul University, where the officials of the state board spoke with us, and you have some takeaways from that.
Well, yeah, the Indiana School Boards Association exists for all of the, I think there's like 270, 290 school boards in the state. They exist to support school boards and school board members. We talked about a lot of different things, but one thing that I think our listeners would be interested in is parents of students who are enrolled in private schools or home schools are entitled to claim a $1,000 income tax deduction per dependent for costs related to tuition, textbooks, computer software, and other school supplies. We don't get that for public schools. Why? I don't know. I don't know why the legislation was written the way it is, but the Indiana School Boards Association is, they have a legislative priority of trying to equalize this and making it fair and creating also a tax deduction for parents of students in public schools for a $1,000 tax deduction. So that's one piece of legislation I think that people might want to be following this year. And the other one that I think is interesting is Jennifer McCormick, the state superintendent for public instruction, would like to see some legislation put in place whereby private schools receiving state voucher, that's state taxpayer money, be liable for more transparency and more openness, showing how that money is being used and also being bound by non-discrimination laws, just like any other public school.
So it's
a great discussion. It's good for us as school board members to get together like that.
Okay, before we let you go, Jennifer McCormick is coming to Bloomington, too.
Yeah, next Thursday at 7 o'clock in the CoLab, MCCSC and the Indiana Coalition for Public Education are sponsoring Jennifer McCormick, who's going to be speaking about what she sees coming up in the upcoming legislative term and what her priorities are for education. And it's a chance for people to come out and listen to the state superintendent and ask some questions. So I think that will be a great, great program.
And that's open to the public?
It sure is, and it's free.
Well, remind us of that next Thursday as well.
Okay.
Now that we're in November, that means the month gets a little goofy because of Thanksgiving and
right.
Thanksgiving break. Your meeting schedule for November has changed.
November 14th. It's earlier than normal.
It is, so that would be the second Tuesday
Correct.
In November instead of the third Tuesday, so we'll remind folks of that as the month carries on, as it rolls downhill.
Okey-dokey.
Hey, once we get past Halloween, you know, next stop Thanksgiving, next stop Christmas, next stop spring break. It's just that's how fast it goes.
I know. I'm looking forward to spring.
put the hand. Well, you've got it today. Get out and enjoy it. It would be nice today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday. We've got a nice little run here before. Next Wednesday is when it starts to cool off, and it looks like that might be the separator. That's when we'll see the warmer days go to the rearview mirror, probably. Sue, as always, thank you. Go ahead.
That's why you said don't look beyond Tuesday.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
We've got such a good short-term forecast. Don't ruin it by stretching it out.
I will not.
All right. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Thanks for your time, as always.
Thanks, Glass.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSE School Board and check in with us every Thursday. So you've got a tight, busy couple weeks here as well. CoLab tonight, 5:30.
Correct.
Redistricting for school board candidates, perhaps.
Right.
Well, the discussion is going to happen.
What comes
out of it is all up to what discussed in the people that show up there. So that's this Thursday. Next.